Financial planner Dave Pezzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Pezzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Pezzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Pezzo Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Pezzo.
Hello and good morning. Tom and Jennifer did a great job last week, didn't they? First of all, I just want to make sure that I thank them because what a great job they did. So thanks, and it is fun, and I it's fun to listen to them and to listen to their take on things. You get to hear it from day to day, but obviously our own input influences that when you get to hear people just express themselves by themselves, you sometimes get a different perspective. So and they're very bright people, and obviously I think it comes through anyway. They're fun to be around. As I pull away for a week, or so, and I wasn't out for a week. I just was busy last weekend, played in a little golf outing. And again, we like to get Tom and Jennifer on from time to time. But, when you can kind of pull away for a couple of days even, as I've said many, many times, it gives you a perspective that you can't have when you're there day to day, when you're in front of it, the noise, and it is noise. It's not information, it's noise, just constant. Oh, I think the Fed's going to do this. No, I think the Fed's going to do that. The dollar's going to do this. It's certainly going to go below par. And then it doesn't, and then we go on to the next thing. We're certain that oil's going to go down into the 30s, and it doesn't. And then that's okay. The same commentators can come right back and talk about how the market's going to tank, and it doesn't matter. So predictions are just we roll from one to the other, but they're stated with such certainty and packaged with wonderful facts. The Fed has to raise rates last year. Well, then this year. Maybe not. Well, there certainly can't be printing. Okay. All right. It just goes on and on, doesn't it? The absolute certainty that A to B equals C. Right? The whole linear thought process that we humans have. And we grab onto. Tie ourselves up with, if you will. We really do. We work hard to tie up ourselves, to not be open to thought, to not be open to change, to not be open to abundance, to not be open to the fact that we all won the lottery, being born in America in the greatest time humans have been on earth. I enjoyed watching a little bit last night, watching Killing Jesus. I didn't watch the whole thing. It's long. But it gives you that, that historic in this Holy Week. In this, of course, yesterday pinched right between, of course, Good Friday and Easter. And the most important Christian holiday. And it just has this whole perspective when you look at it. Excuse me. And you see how brutal, how horrible all of history has been. But you take a camera and you magnify anything bad in the world today. And what do we have? It's way worse today than ever before is the perspective we have. We really don't. We can even watch horrible, Private Ryan, and watch all these incredible men land on a beach. They were almost certainly going to die and go forward. And then understanding what happened to the Jews in World War II. But today, the problems of today are insurmountable. And if we watch enough, internet, we watch enough TV, listen to enough negative commentary, we can actually believe that it's just horrible that we haven't won the lottery. We've not won the lottery living today. So, I thought about this, and so the word I got this. So, this was a great, great statement that an older gentleman made. I don't know who it was, who it is, but it was, a friend had said this to him because he'd done very well in investing. And he said, so what do you attribute that to? Benign neglect. Benign neglect. What a beautiful statement. Perfect. I bought stuff, left it alone. I just neglected it. Didn't fuss over it all the time. No need to. Benign neglect. So this is our word of the day, of course, but I also want to twist this just a little bit today. I want to ask you this question. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from everybody, right? And you're welcome to email as well. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. But also, I want to hear from you. How often do you look at your investments? Every day? All day long? Once a week? Once a month? How often do you look? How often do you contemplate? How often do you read about and wonder about your next move? Right. I mean, it's okay to understand the world, but what I'm saying is, how often are you also digging in and trying to figure out if you should be, more in cash? Not the great corporations of the world. You should sell some. Get some off the table. How often do you think about selling out? Because of fill in the blank. How often are you looking at the value of your account? Is it every day? Benign neglect. That was beautiful. Beautiful. One final thought with that before we go to the phones. Remember, Fidelity did this study about their best investors, with the data they had, right? I mean, are they the Harvard graduates, the economic majors, right? Are they the college educated? Are they the ones with the highest income and probably therefore the highest intellect? Are they middle class? Are they older? Are they younger? The best investors by far are the people that forgot they had an account. By far. Yes, we are, in fact, clever by half. The more we know, the worse we do. We think we're clever. We think we have it figured out. And we're very good at overanalyzing and A, doing nothing, or B, doing too much. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Linda in Emmett. Linda, thanks for calling.
Hi, Dave. How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Good. I was kind of chuckling here, listening to you talk about people who dream of winning the lottery. And I've seen some reports on in the papers and on the news once in a while about somebody that wins a lottery, and 2 years later they're broke flat on their butts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any investments, and that's my own fault. I did not stay aware of where the country was going financially, and spent a lot of it frivolously and stuff that I should have invested in, and just, as you say, ignored it for, you know, 10 years, and then see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, if somebody thinks they're going to get rich over the lottery, I think they better go see a psychiatrist.
Well,
because the lottery is, it's, you know, one in a million, one in a billion. I don't know.
One in millions. Millions and millions and millions. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah.
But people, and what breaks my heart is up here in Emmett, we've got a Hispanic, Hispanic population. And I see these guys going in, even at the grocery store. They look like they haven't got two pennies to rub together, but mm-hmm. they hand the clerk $10 for lottery tickets.
Yeah.
And I'm going, what are you thinking? You know, you're wasting $10 that your family could probably use in groceries.
Right. Well, it is kind of, it is sad. It really is.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
I think the saddest part about it, Linda, is this, is that people, there's two things. All people can become financially independent in this country easily. It is easy. You just have to start saving a little bit of money early and keep it invested. It's okay. And I wanted to, first of all, because I thought this was interesting in this day and age, Linda, I wanted to compliment you because
you
actually said, it's my fault. You didn't list a laundry list of reasons why you don't have financial independence now. You said I was bought frivolous stuff. You know, that's refreshing to hear somebody actually say, you know, put their hand up and say, you know what? This particular trouble in my life, my fault. Yeah, I thought that was very. I noticed that. I wanted to say something about that. Now, you know what? The second thing though about this whole idea with the lottery is that, and why it's important, I think, for all of us to pass on. I adamantly won't play the lottery. I'm adamant about it. I find it a horrific thing that our own government is preying on its own people, because it is wrong to encourage people that they would have a life-changing event when, in fact, it's not just that 2 years later some people are broke. The fact of the matter is that the vast majority of lottery winners are very unhappy in their lives within a couple of years of winning the lottery, whether they're broke or not.
Yeah.
And that is a really sad thing. So by having this massive change in people's lives, they're not ready for. It's very much like, people are surprised that professional athletes getting contracts for millions of dollars and beautiful women throwing themselves at them is going to be warping a 20-year-old's mind. Of course it does. I mean, they're not ready for it. They don't have time. They haven't, quote, earned it in life. You haven't grown into that. And so it's a very hard thing for people. Money doesn't solve that. Money is is not a problem, but it is a problem for people who aren't ready for it, and lottery winners are not. And
You're right.
And to have that hope up is a sad thing. And so they're taking money that every week, if you would have put $50 a month away for decade after decade, you'd have hundreds of thousands of dollars. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Instead, you have nothing. And I know people say, oh, it's on hope, or it's the one thing they have for entertainment. Oh, baloney. That's an excuse for saying, I am not going to change my bad spending/investment habits. I don't want to. So I hope I win a lottery. So anyway, Linda, thank you for your call.
Oh, you're very welcome, Dave. I enjoy your program.
Thank you, and you have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Jim, hang tough. I got to take a quick break here. We're going to be way, way behind. So our number is 580-KIDO. 580-KIDO is our number. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. And I want to hear from you, too. Remember, the word of the day or the phrase of the day is benign neglect. Now, how often do you look at your investments? And then the flip side of that is how often are you thinking about whether you should be going to cash or not? We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello and welcome back. Thank you again for joining us. 580-KIDO is our number. Dave@petsofinancial.net is our email, our live email address. And contemplating, thinking about this fantastic verbiage, I think it's fantastic. Benign neglect. How did you become, to give you the reference here, how did you become successful? I mean, how did you accumulate your wealth? Benign neglect. I just put it away and I ignored it. Fascinating. As we live in an era of quickly turning things over. So I ask this question, right? How often are you looking at, quotes, your net worth? Right? How often do you pull it up? Pull up the account. Look at it. Wonder about it. And wonder about going to cash? That's the question of the day. So let's try Jim. Jim, how are you?
Morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Yeah, I have the same opinion of the lottery. And, you know, I thought it was an interesting. Now, this is kind of a play on words, but, you know, you say that the government is preying on people, and yet the government has practically outlawed praying.
Yeah, that's true. They have. But it's okay to steal from citizens, of course, because it's really their money anyway.
Well, see, you talk about something that goes after the people that most cannot afford it is the lottery.
That's correct. It does. And the people that but putting some money away, I mean, even a little bit, can you imagine the change in generations by being able to send kids to college? That's not the government's job. It's family's job.
Yep.
But that, and to change that whole dynamic by having them not spend $10, $20 a week, but to put that away and to change the dynamic of the family in investing and saving and understanding. I just can't even imagine the surge in our economy and the health of families would just change overnight. To me, it's just really sad. But anyway.
Well, as far as that phrase, benign neglect, I know that, you know, what you're intending, but to me, that is not a good policy. You've got everybody needs to pay attention, or they may be the next Madoff victim, you know.
Well, now, not quite. Now, if you, I think it's in reference to this, it was buying the great corporations of the world. What did you do? Well, what did the best investors at Fidelity do? Right? They forgot they had an account.
Well, I'll tell. I was telling my brother last night. There are two things, only really two things you need to pay attention to. You know, the U.S. economy, and then the world in general, and the company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, first off, an investor has got to have faith in the economy. They've got to be optimistic, think the economy is going to go up. Number two, they've got to have faith in the company that they buy. If they have faith in both of those, they just buy it and neglect it, as you'd say. But I'll tell you this one situation where I did not neglect, because I go over my statements all the time with a fine-tooth comb. But that doesn't mean I worry if they kind of go down.
Right.
Well, anyway, this one company, fairly small, and I mentioned this last week to Tom and Jennifer, but this one company, and they make cream of wheat, and I have a soft heart in my heart for cream of wheat. So they're B&G Foods. So anyway, first off, they say that their yield, their dividend, is about 4.9%. Well, anybody that knows anything about this kind of thing knows that's a tad bit high.
Yeah.
Well, I bought it last year, and the first dividend I got was in October. Well, anyway, so I'm going down my statement. I'm analyzing my statement. And the nice thing about buying a stock, an individual stock, your cost basis never varies. However, I noticed that the cost basis of B&G Foods had dropped, right? So anyway, they had paid 34 cents a share, of which they had taken 22.64 cents out of capital, not retained earnings. Now, I look at it, and of course, you know, I'm into accounting, and I see that as an unhealthy and not a good accounting thing to do.
Right.
I mentioned it to Tom, and he said it was legal, and no doubt it is.
Yeah.
But I do not see that as healthy. So I called my person, my advisor, and told her to sell it.
I think that's wise. There's nothing wrong with that. No. You're talking about security analysis there, and I completely, when I say benign neglect, does that mean I go out and I think, I think I'll just buy some Micron and never look? Of course not. Of course not. But what I'm saying is there a balance there between, and of course we are talking about balance. I think in general, Jim, that people look so much, and it's not just me, all the studies show, that the more we look at, the more we, think we're learning stuff, that we're doing stuff, we're studying things, the more we have a tendency to trade, and the more you trade, the worse you do.
Right.
That's just a simple fact. And investors are getting worse. They're not getting better. And yet there's more information. There's more of this information out there. There's more facts about the Dalbar studies all the time. I mean, it's I think Jennifer might have shared this, but because she had come up with the some study that shows how really bad, we are. And it basically says, shows this whole chart of different things like healthcare stocks are up a zillion percent for the last 20 years and so on and so forth. And then the arrow points over and it says, you suck.
Yeah.
That's the average investor. Clear over to the right. It's like cash was better. Cash was better during this raging bull market. Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I bought myself an Easter present, and this goes perfectly, you've heard of the Easter Bunny, right?
Yeah.
Well, I bought the little bunny with a bass drum.
Right on.
I got 50 shares of Energizer.
Mm-hmm.
And this is because I'm suffering ever since Buffett bought me out of Santa Fe. I am suffering from what I term Buffettophobia. And Buffettophobia is the fear of having some tycoon, buy you out of whatever. So when he bought Duracell, I had to buy a battery company, so.
Yep. I know. I understand. That's good. So you don't have, you have good, it's good that you do securities analysis, but sitting around and looking at a net worth statement or pondering, because of global events, you should go all to cash.
Well, no. But most people don't do that. I mean, I'm kind of anal retentive in figures and statistics.
Right.
And all that. It's just, I find it fun. So.
Exactly. And most people don't, and that's fine. But you do have to, quotes, do some homework, pay attention, yes, just do not overthink it.
Right.
People do. We are clever by half.
And again, you've got to have confidence in the economy and what you're buying.
Well, and that's important. I got to have to take a break here, but I'm going to make a note here. And coming back on the other side of the break, I want to talk a little bit about the economy and stocks because they are not always linked. In fact, they're most of the time not linked.
Well, there's emotion, yeah, but that's just in the stock price. That's not in the company.
Right. Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No, the economy ultimately affects the prices of the overall market because we are going to be overall sensitive. People may say, no, I don't care how bad the economy is. I want my iPhone. But they're not going to say, I don't care how bad the economy is, and so I want all kinds of consumer goods. Not at all. They're going to cut back somewhere. And so the economy does matter. But we'll talk a little bit about that on the other side of Fox News, okay?
Hello. Have a nice Easter.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's Place to Talk. EKIDO, Idaho's Place to Talk.
Welcome and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO is our number, 580-5436. We'd love to hear from you. Also, if you prefer email, that's great. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. You know, it's before I dive into this economy and market, which is an important distinction, I kind of want to back up just a little bit as we've been talking today about how often do you look at your portfolio? Do you look all the time? You know, how often do you? Do you pull it up every day, check your net worth? That's just not healthy. It really is not. So, oh, I just taking a look. No, don't do that. Remember, if it's down, it isn't going to be good for your attitude. Even if it doesn't make you fuss and worry and maybe sell out. Why? So we're talking about, right, not ignoring and putting your head in the sand, but we've got to create an environment where we are safe to look at the news occasionally, where we are safely removed from wondering if we should go to cash or not. Hurry, get to cash, because of fill in the blank. And as we've talked many times, this is not just a light discussion. This is critical to good planning, good investing, because so many seniors particularly are afraid. So they buy into the idea that you can have market returns without risk. They know in their heart that is not true. But they are so afraid that they hear the word guarantee and they rush to it. Guarantee is guarantee to lock up your money for years. An astounding amount of time that if you wanted to get to it, have enormous cost. Why? Because it pays enormous upfront commissions. People would never buy this product unless it was sold in fear. So if we don't, if we're sure that the world we live in is not abundant, if we're positive that the world we live in is about to end, if we're positive through all of our careful analysis, reading the blogs, all that stuff, that it's like a triple blood moon year or something like that. I can't remember what I heard this recently. That this is it. Really? Really? That this is the kind of thing. And I'm not going to get hyper religious here, but I'm just saying, as we head into like the Holy Weekend, right? Okay? We are in it. Most important Christian holiday. And I hear this mostly from Christians. That it's all ending. It's all done. It's all over. And I just find this amazing. Stunning. Absolutely stunning. Because it goes against everything that we're taught. Everything. It's not up to you. It's not up to you predicting when it's going to go away. It's craziness. And that's why it's important for us to just stop. Turn the news off. Contemplate. Just turn the noise down. It's incredibly important. How can you invest? Well, you haven't been. And I'm sure some of you literally are yelling at the radio, or in your head at least, saying, yeah, but. There is no yeah, but. There is none. None. None that's ever been right. Yeah, but World War II is going to begin. Yeah, but what about the Russians? Sputnik. Well, we solved that problem. I know. Yeah, but. You have Bay of Pigs. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Year after year, decade after decade, and the market marches higher. Why? Because we reinvent ourselves. We do. Corporations reinvent themselves. Creative destruction. And the world keeps growing. Yeah, but. World keeps growing. Yeah, but. Problems in the Middle East. Yeah, but. I believe when I was an infant, there were problems in the Middle East. When I was a child growing up. Do you remember, if you're 50-ish to 60-ish, how we had special nuclear design desks? Do you remember those? I do. I remember the little whatever thing, the nuclear fallout shelter thing on the wall in my school. And we put our head under the desk. I know, it's been resolved. Soviet Union, blah, blah, blah. What are you talking about? Don't you get it now, Dave? Because we got ISIS, man. And we got a nut job in the White House. He's trying to destroy us. I got it. I do. Worst president ever. No doubt about that. Absolutely none. And he's trying to destroy business. I got it. Raise taxes all crazy. I know. And the market's adjusted and moved higher. Yeah, but. It's always a yeah, but. And when we get that, and we get little fluctuations in the market, and get people scared, it works. It works. It works. People can, oh, I'm going to go to that seminar. I'm just going to get a little information. I'm just going to listen in for a little information. No, you're not. Information is not one-sided, twisted data. That's not information. That's a snow job. That's what that is. Dinner seminar. Either a trust you don't need or an annuity you can't get out of. Either way, thousands of dollars of expense. All sold on the idea of fear. It doesn't matter if it's a legal document. Fear. Oh, I don't want my kids fighting over it. Oh, I don't want there to be a bunch of probate costs. Oh, those attorney fees. Well, there's not. But it's fear, right? I don't want that. Pushing people with fear into inappropriate things. Constant. Constant. That's why it's so important. It's not just, hey, it's important we don't trade so much. It's important because if we're fearful, we buy inappropriate products. That we know you can't have market returns without risk. You know that CFPs can't sell this stuff, certified financial planners. You know people with securities licenses can't lie about the market getting market returns. It's only if you have an insurance license. So you don't want to be doing business with people that have certifications, that have to maintain multiple licenses. It makes no logical sense. None. Except this. I'm scared. And I just want to believe, even though I know he's lying. I just want to believe. In a world with zero interest rates, I just want like a couple percent on a CD. It's a bad choice, but I get it. And you'd be a lot better off doing that, but you can't do that. But I don't want to own the great corporations of the world. I don't know why, but okay. That's your choice. But please, don't tie your money up for decades in a product that won't work. It's fear. It's done with fear. That's the big problem. All right, we'll talk about the economy and the market in a moment. We've got to take a quick break here, and our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Very important for us to get this right. How much information, how often are we looking at our portfolios? We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Petzel on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and again, thank you for joining us. If you'd like to join us on the phone, we'd love that. It's 580-KIDO. If you want to tap out an email, that's fine, too. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. That's P-E-T-S-O, not the sauce, P-E-T-S-O-financial.net. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to John in Meridian. John.
Hey, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this is kind of a yeah, but I've been this on my mind for a few months, but I just kind of wanted to get your opinion on. As the baby boomers begin to retire, and also it seems that in major economies there's a kind of a demographic shift, shifting to much more retirees than workers. And it seems to me that the millennials are not replacing the wealth at the seemingly same rate as the boomers. So as the boomers begin to withdraw trillions of dollars from the market, what do you kind of see replacing that investment?
Well, first of all, demographics are very important, but more to the overall economy than I think the market, okay? And let me circle back to that point in a moment. But I think you have to look across the globe and see which countries are younger. Right, Japan is in real trouble, right? Because
yes.
they're totally stagnant. They've been in trouble. They have an aging workforce, very old, very, very, very old, and so their population literally is in decline. So and they don't want any immigration at all. So it's a very demographically terrible situation. So I when you're talking about generally to the economy. That's what I'm speaking of there. As far as the markets go, I don't see that as important. As somebody out there, I think it's Dent is his last name, has wrote book after book after book. He's famous for the 35,000 Dow, and now it's going to be 3,000 Dow. I don't know. He just throws stuff at the wall. I have no idea, because he hasn't been right for decades, why people write him or read him. But his big thing is on demographics. And writing the pig in a python type of thing, right? The baby boomers coming through. But here's why, John, I think it misses. Number one, we embrace immigration. I know there's a big fight going on right now, but we certainly embrace it and have culturally for decades. We don't embrace illegal immigration, or most of us don't. But the point is we are continuing to evolve as a people, right?
Yeah.
The second, and so whether you're talking about we aren't having as many kids, that kind of thing, but when you just focus in on the market, our population is growing. And the second part, though, that you're talking about, where does the money go? It's not withdrawn and then put under a rock, okay? So I don't agree with the idea that if you're old, then you take it out of stocks and then do what? Spend it? That's
right.
Part of the thought, but that spending then creates more wealth in the economy, right? There's one of the things, if I could just let me move to a side here, an aside right now that everybody's talking about. Our savings rate, oh my gosh, has jumped to over 5%. And economists are worried. Because they thought we would be burning through all of our money, which is what they're worried about because the economy is slowing down. Because people are saving some and saving more than they were like 3 or 6 months ago. That money doesn't just stagnate when I spend it. It now generates jobs, creates wealth in other areas. So my spending is a driver actually to the overall markets and economy. Now, as I spend it and then I, someday die, I then pass that on and I pass that wealth to a younger generation, whether it's a smaller number of people or not, but it gets passed on. I don't see this, and it certainly hasn't played out at all demographically. And I don't see that in the markets being the issue. I do see it if countries do not embrace it. We're seeing some of those problems right now in Europe. And I know this sounds political. It is not. It is certainly an economic issue. But it is what within Europe, they quit having babies a long time ago. Their populations were shrinking. And in that vacuum, a huge number of people moved from the Middle East that have a lot of children. And we're hearing a lot of nationalism because of that now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Over there. It is a huge problem for them because the society did not integrate with them. The French did not say to the Muslim community, come on in, or whatever. I'm not saying it's their fault, but they didn't come in. And so now you have separate societies within the society, and it's creating enormous problems in Europe because the people that are having children are not the French nationals. So it is becoming a huge issue globally. So watch that as an economy. But I am not concerned about the stocks or stock market as people come out. I think that's overstated, greatly overstated, because it does not mean the wealth is just simply evaporates.
I guess I just kind of wonder the shift from investment to consumption. I'm not sure if the ROI is as high on consumption as it is on investment.
Now that's a fair thought. I'd have to actually look at that because again, when we're talking about the driver of the economy, if people are not spending money, that's a huge issue. If they're not, I mean, for example, we think about deflation. Why is deflation so? Why is that terrorize the Federal Reserve? Because people won't spend if they know products are going to be cheaper a year from now.
Right. Well, I always wonder, so in the argument for inflation, though, then doesn't it work in the reverse? Why would I sell if I know it's going to be, if I can sell it for more in the future? And I always think the answer is that people have to spend and to consume. So I think people are a little too scared of deflation. And I actually think that reduction in prices, in a sense, price deflation caused by technology is one thing that could greatly mitigate these problems.
Right, right. Well, it has. Let's face it. I all the problems that we continue to talk about as society, decade after decade, you know, the world becoming overpopulated will never feed all these people. Okay. Well, overpopulation means that look how dirty the cities were, like L.A. in the 60s and 70s, and now we've doubled the population in that, and the air is breathable. But we all draw straight lines. The Hudson River is toxic. It was decades ago. It's not now. And so all of this is in part from technology. And it is a very amazing thing that we now feed more people. We have cleaner air, cleaner water, cleaner everything. I know that the green movement doesn't believe any of that, but it is absolutely factually true. And technology gets cheaper and cheaper and is more available to everybody than ever before. That's amazing.
It is.
John, I got a roll. I got a roll, and I thank you so much. And, again, the demographic question, I think, is very important when we're looking at global investing. I want the young countries in my portfolio for sure.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye now. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We're about ready to flip out of here for Fox News, but in the second hour, I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about the economy versus stocks. They're really very different things. They're really different. We all focus on any little blip in economic news is going to affect stocks. Not necessarily.
In closets and especially in the garage. It's all waiting to make you money at the 8th annual Idaho's largest garage sale. If you've got stuff that you don't use anymore, sell it for extra cash at Idaho's largest garage sale. Saturday, May 16th at Expo Idaho. Thousands of buyers will flock to Expo Idaho for one day to score great bargains and give you some extra cash. Start organizing and reserve your booth space now. All the details are at idahoslargestgaragesale.com.
Looking for inspiration? Or wonder if God is really there to help you in every time of need? If so, tune in and find answers on the Christian Science Sentinel Radio Edition. Hear people testify to the power of prayer and God's ever-presence. That's Sentinel Radio. Tune in for the good news.
Tune in this Sunday morning at 8 o'clock.
Hello and welcome to hour number 2 of Money Matters. And of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. Not the station, not my broker-dealer. If we talk about a stock, we talk about some sector that has nothing to do with whether you should be buying it or selling it. That is nonsense. It's ridiculous. And it's frustrating. It's anti-good investment is what that is. It really is. How to become a worse investor. Then think, what to buy, 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 sell, sell, sell. That's how to destroy any chance of having good returns. It really is. And studies show that. Study after study after study after study after study consistently shows the average investor performs very poorly because they're clever by half. They know what's going on in the world. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the economy versus the market. Because this is really where people really take the wrong turn, don't they? This is where we say the economy is X, so therefore the market is Y. And we forget that the market is a forecasting mechanism. Not always accurate, mind you. It's a forecast of what's going to happen, not what has happened. Garrett, if you'll hang on for a little bit here, let me finish this segment, okay? We forget that markets bottom in the middle of economic downturns, not at the end of them, not sometimes, not most of the time, all of the time, all of the time. Markets, where they usually get it wrong, drop before the economy weakens, not after. This is where they overly predict that, right? This is where we get a lot of drops in the market, right? Every recession is predicted 20 times before it happens, right? Economists are great about that. Never miss a chance to call for a recession or take a data point and tell us why it's going to extrapolate out into our next recession. It moves in advance, not with the news. And this is where people get so caught up in the daily news. But it's not. It's daily noise, daily barfing at us. It is. Like, well, what kind of value did you get out of that? None. He just barfed all over me. That's it. None. No value at all. Zero. Zero. When they come on, go, yeah, stocks dropped today, you know, like 0.1%. Stocks tanked. 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 Really? Wow. What happened? The oil prices were the main function today. Oh, it was oil today. Really? Thank you for that. It wasn't that there were more sellers than buyers, slightly. Or there was some weird technical buy program going on for some black box somewhere. No, it was because oil prices moved 50 cents. It's because people have to come up with some idiotic reason every day. Instead of just saying, the market was up, the market was down, slightly, a lot, done, move on. No, we've got to fill the news with 24/7. How do you do that? Well, you make stuff up. You have to. You have to. So we talk all these economic numbers breathlessly. The jobs report. The ADP report. Oh, and here and soon we're going to have housing starts. Building permits. The Chicago Manufacturing Index. Holy cow. Philadelphia's tomorrow morning. Wow. And what does that mean? Nothing. 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 It really doesn't. It really, truly doesn't. And when we look at all of this news happened and then say this is going to be what the market does because of it, you're absolutely wrong. Because the market is forecasting. And here's what I think people miss so much on it, too, right? Because we're all wired in. We know what's going on. We know, hey, the dollar's strong. Dollar's strong. Is that good or bad? It's both. It's actually both, but we're sure of something. It's bad because whatever is bad. I mean, 90% of our belief is it's bad. It's going to end bad. It is. That's how we're wired. And 90% of the news is negative. So we're saying the dollar is strong, so that is bad. Bad for what? Bad for corporate profits. Okay. That's a fact. That is an absolute certainty. That's not analysis. What you already know, what we know, isn't worth knowing. It has absolutely no value. And yet, it's paraded around this particular earnings season is in serious trouble. Serious trouble. Strong dollar. It's going to destroy all of the corporate profits. Wipe them out. Well, okay, maybe that's not going to wipe them out, but I'm just trying to, do the evening news. It is going to take a few cents per share off. Does that fundamentally change Procter & Gamble? And their outlook for paying a dividend, a rising stream of income? No. But it's going to be like 2 cents off on their earnings. Oh man, I don't know how we're going to survive this earnings season. I really don't. I don't. I just, whoa, wow, strong dollar, done. Oil going down. That's bad too. Somehow it's become bad that you and I don't pay as much at the pump. That's terrible news. Somehow for the economy of the United States, it's become terrible. Terrible. Everything is bad. That's how it's reported. Everything. So we think about that with the economy versus the market. It allows us this perspective. Doesn't matter. Does not matter. Doesn't matter. The noise of today is not going to affect the market. Oh, it can move it around a little today. That's it. It's just noise today. Oh, jobs were down. Jobs were really bad. I don't know who on this planet thought that the first quarter was good. Right? I mean, we all know. What we know isn't worth knowing. It is priced in long ago. So collectively marching around in your analysis and being obvious is not helpful to you at all. It is, in fact, leads you the wrong way. It's anti-helpful. It's absolutely the opposite of what you think. You think you're analyzing current information that's obvious. The dollar is strong. Wow. Wow. You are so smart, man, to say the dollar's strong and then corporate profits are going to be down because of those companies' overseas earnings will be down. Pure genius. Wow. I don't know why they don't hire you at, the big fund companies for your economic analysis of obvious. Housing starts. Jobs numbers. All of these things are a rear view mirror look of obvious that we twist and turn into obviously the economy is going to do what? You don't know. What we do know is what the economy did. Did. Obvious is not analysis at all. It's not. It's not helpful at all. So as we look at the economy versus the market, we also have to then stop and say, hey, you know what? Overall, the economy doesn't really matter much. That's helpful to not get caught. That's a helpful statement, helpful thought, to not get caught then in what the little box is telling us. Because remember, what the box is telling us is all bad, all the time. If they have to give a good number, it always comes with a yeah, but. Or five yeah, buts. Corporate profits were good. But, you know, the outlook isn't very good. And parsing through the numbers, traders really didn't like it. They don't like the one-time gains. Or they're very worried about, it doesn't matter, it all is going to come at you with so many yeah buts if they have to reluctantly tell you something good. Apple had its best quarter ever. Not its best. The best quarter of any corporation ever. Like thousands of iPhones sold every hour for the entire quarter. Millions. 74 million iPhones sold in the quarter. And what did we hear? Yeah, but iPads sales were down. Yeah, but the outlook can't be that good. Yeah, but. And after a few yeah buts, stocks stabilize, rip higher to all-time highs. Can't even say a company, a country is doing well, a sector is doing well, without contemplating why it won't. So obvious is not analysis. The economy is not the big driver. It's corporate profits. If corporations are profitable, profits are growing, then ultimately that will be reflected in prices. Regardless of what the Federal Reserve is doing or not doing, regardless of what the economies of the world are doing or not doing, regardless of the demographics, if you will, I think it's an important point from an earlier call today. But again, all of these things are noise to the reason you buy stocks, which is to share in the earnings of that great company or not so great company. Very important. Now, when we look at the overall economy, which is fine to do on a long-term basis, and it is important. Just be careful. It's not the current noise. How are we doing? It's very slow growth, but it's growth. It is growth. And that's how we need to perceive this. Does it have to be the best ever? No matter who's in office, no matter what kind of silly policies they have. The strong dollar will affect. But again, back to obvious is not analysis. We already know this. Everybody knows this. Telling me that corporate profits won't be as good as expected this quarter tells me absolutely nothing that the entire world doesn't already know. It's not analysis. It's obvious. So what I think we need to do really, is take, and of course we focus on profits. That's the big focus. When you buy a company, is it going to be profitable? Of course we want to pick companies based on profitability, and we watch them for whether that profitability is coming true or not. But bottom line, that's what you're trying to buy. You're buying a stream of income, a stream of earnings. That's your share. And then we want to lay over top of this, I believe, some common sense. Is the market too high? I don't know. I can make a case on the left or the right. So whatever you want me to do, whatever your own bias is, boom, we're going to do it. Okay? So I don't really care what your opinion is because it's all out there. I've got my opinion. You don't need to care what mine is either. But here's what I do think is important as we look at it. Is the market too high? Based on what? What's saying that? We have to have a real analysis. Don't just go and try to find somebody who believes the end of the world is here because of three blood moons or whatever it is. Okay? Don't do that. It's just confirmation bias. But if we sit back and just look at normal things, like a P.E. ratio, dividend yields, things like that, and we ask ourselves simple, fundamental, common sense questions. Instead of saying, I don't know how the market could be this high, it's all Fed-induced. Well, let's look at the facts. Corporate balance sheets are the strongest ever in history. Corporate cash flows are the best in history. There's like nearly $4 trillion. That's T, not B. T as in trillion dollars sitting on corporate balance sheets. In cash, earning zero. Nearly $4 trillion. Earnings are at record highs. Interest rates are at zero. You know what? I am absolutely puzzled how the market could be at all-time highs. Just floored. We never stop to just look at the facts. Why is the market at all-time highs? Well, corporate profits are at all-time highs. The economy is at all-time highs. What do you mean the economy is at all-time highs? We're the richest we've ever been. Sorry, I know. You don't feel that way. Fine. But it's a fact. It's a fact that the market is at all-time highs and is a perfect reflection of the fact that corporate profits, cash flows, are at all-time highs. A perfect reflection. Will it be there in 6 months or 3 months? We don't know. That's why you can't go all in or just, you know, or get margined, right? That's why you're balanced and diversified. We have to be. But we are so good at overthinking it, overanalyzing, being clever by half, looking at today's news as if it was a reflection of where we'll be in 6 months or a year. The economy and the market are different animals. They're different animals. And analyzing the obvious is not analysis. It is not. So we take these and we look at it with common sense as best we can. And I know common sense is not common. I completely get that. Tune down the noise so we can actually think and use our common sense. Then when we look around the world, to me, and why I don't worry so much about day-to-day prices or P.E. ratios or the Shiller's 10-year nonsense, and it is nonsense. Absolute nonsense. What else are investors going to own? Now, I know we got all the scare products out there, the ones that promise market returns without any risk, but that's a lie. What basic investment are you going to own? Cash? You can personally, but you will not manage money losing money every year to inflation. You will not be hired to do that for institutions. I'm just saying. Bonds, which also lock up your money for a long period of time at negative real returns meaning after inflation. So we've got our basic food groups here, if you will, right? Cash, bonds. Gold is not, I'm sorry, it's not a basic food group, but if you want to throw it in there, really? So you think institutions are going to pile into gold? Right. Because it yields a lot of dividends off of gold. And what a history. Woo! Man, rocket ship with gold. Such a great history. Real estate. But it's not liquid. So it's tough to, you can't really sell off part of your building as retirees need income. So I actually think the outlook for real estate's reasonable. Commercial, of course, REITs, real estate investment trusts. I'm not talking about single family homes. But pretty reasonable. Okay. But again, guess what those are? Stocks. or we have stocks that have outperformed everything else for all of your life, but we look for reasons not to own, which is a curious human condition. But at any rate, that to me is a common sense type of an approach. Where are we going to put money? Because those trillions of dollars, trillions and trillions of wealth in the world flow in and out of various assets. Why are they going to flow to cash, bonds, things like that? And when we look at the interest rate, I'm going way over. We got to take a break. When we come back, I want your phone calls. We've been talking about today benign neglect, right? Neglecting our portfolios is the best way to wealth. Actually, it's not that bad. It's been actually the best performing group out there are people that don't even know they have an account. Our number is 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Money Matters with Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number. 580-KIDO. Hey, and that really means it's time to ring us up here. Also, if you prefer, email's fine. And that's dave@petzofinancial.net. So in the first hour, we talked a little bit about the lottery. And so, Joan, thanks for the email. It goes, what folks don't seem to understand that when they win the lottery, they are taking the money that the folks who shouldn't have entered is the reason that there is money there. Therefore, if they would return at least 10% back to the needs of the folks, they would not be so stressed out and so selfish. And also, thanks for answering the other question today, which was, I glance at my report once a month. That's perfect. Just take a glance. And that really is our question of the day, right? Is how often do we look? How often do you look? Every day? You check your, you know, net worth statement every day? I don't think that's healthy. Financial analysis is one thing, analyzing your companies, making sure they're on track. I had a caller in the last hour, right? Jim called in and said, you know, hey, I spotted this thing on this one company. They were paying out of their paying this dividend out, but it was coming out in a form of return of capital, meaning the value of the company is down. It's not a healthy sign at all. It's not. So he sold. Good. That's analysis. That's not, I wonder what I'm worth today. I wonder what I'm worth today. That is not leading us to to more truth. Oh, and by the way, Garrett, I saw you call in earlier. I'm sorry. I wanted to get through our education segment before. If you'll ring us up, we'll put you right back up. And our number, oh, by the way, is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Because I went so long in the first one, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break here for Fox News and hopefully give people a chance to give us a call. 580-KIDO, we'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm Dave Petzo, and once again, these are my opinions and mine only, not this station, not my broker-dealer. Just here to try to learn with you, grow in our investment thought. Right now, let's go to the phones. By the way, if you prefer email, it's dave@petzofinancial.net. Let's go to Garrett. Garrett, thanks for calling back. Go ahead, please.
You betcha. Sorry, I had to hang up on you earlier. That was a good monologue. It kind of went along with what I was wanting to ask you. You know, the book Anti-Fragile by Taleb, I don't know if you've read it or not.
The what now? Say that again.
Let me take you out. Dead. How's that? Is that better?
Yeah, that's great.
Sorry about that. The book Anti-Fragile by Nicholas Taleb, have you read that book?
I have not. I haven't even heard of it, so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a great book. It's the same guy who wrote The Black Swan.
Oh, okay.
And so the premise of the book, though, is that exactly what you were saying. While people can say they can predict this or that, really they can't predict anything, but we can look at things and say this is not as fragile as this thing over here. And so, especially in the financial world, what are some, you know, like you mentioned Procter & Gamble, I think that would be a great one, but as far as positioning ourselves to benefit from volatility, and obviously that'll be a long-term solution. I'm not talking about buy, sell, but
right.
What are some things as you look at, you know, you're tying politics together with the financial world, which is absolutely critical and essential when we look at this stuff. What are some things that you look at when you're evaluating something for a long-term investment, especially with an eye towards political or financial volatility that will still not just survive that, but will benefit from that volatility?
Well, I think there's a couple of things, and I think what you're trying to say I'm trying to do this when I'm looking at it, is thinking of things in 3 to 5 year, more like really 5 to 7 year time frames, because the world is so short term. And this is difficult thing. It's a difficult thing for our clients. It's really hard. It's hard enough for me, and I'm kind of wired in a longer term thinking than most people are. And so when you think about that in the world and how short it's getting, it's extremely difficult. So it is something that people do buy into with us, and that is that you're really trying to think in terms of a longer cycle, which means you're going to be wrong short term most of the time. You know, it's saying that emerging markets are cheap, it doesn't mean they move right away.
Yeah.
Okay? But so what I'm saying is we want to lay over the top of that is, if you will, the secular trends, not cyclical, but the secular. And that would be, obviously, the emerging markets are growing. And with technology, I think they're the safest places long term to be investing, not short term. Okay. They are volatile. But long term, if we can get away from the political issues of some of the smaller ones, right? And they're terrible. But you go to places that have good rules of law, things like that, a more stable but growing workforce, growing wealth, because it's exponential in those countries. The wealth is growing so fast that it is absolutely exponential. We're growing 2.5%, but when you're talking about people, even if they're only growing 3 or 3.5, that's because what you're seeing then is that the middle class is exploding. A billion people will be entering the middle class over the next 10 years. A billion.
Wow.
That's an extraordinary number. And when you think about what are they going to be buying and doing, well, that's the global multinationals provide that. So you can invest directly in them, but you could also invest in the multinationals, because what you're going to want, I want protein. You know, right? What do we have when we have money? Meat.
Yeah.
We eat meat. We live longer. We want health care. I want health care. So people are going to have health care, they're going to have protein, and then they're going to start buying consumer goods and things that are fun. But right now, those are the kind of trends you want to be looking at long term. But that doesn't mean that your portfolio is going to jump this year at all. The worst performing investments last year were emerging markets. So when we look at that, you always want to have balance. So I think your point is very valid. But from my perspective, that is one, if you will, area. I also think that when you see places like Europe falling, that gets my interest because I'm a bargain hunter. And when you look at them structurally, again, you're asking me to lay over the political, they went, and probably wrongly, but they turned first in this crisis to cut their costs. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So they cut their government budgets. They wanted to stay. So they went with austerity first. Now they're pumping money.
Yeah.
I think structurally they're way ahead of the United States. Way ahead. Because we have still got to deal with our massive debt issues and the fact that people are going to be living forever. Now, when we lay over the top of that, the thing that we have to think of as a long-term trends is that everything that's in front of you has an absolute opportunity to die tomorrow. Creative destruction. What I mean by that is whatever you think linear-like is going to happen in healthcare, you're wrong. I'm not a scientist. I promise you that. But whatever we think when we decode, and we have decoded. We're still working on, you know, more and more. But the genetic code, it now takes hours, not weeks, months, years. What is that going to do when we start taking out genes that cause massive disease, when we teach our bodies to fight cancer itself, not just treat it when it's there, but fight it internally? Well, we're going to live forever. I mean, it's just, these diseases are gone. They're gone. Now, if you have them now, these aren't yet. But I'm just saying, in the next 5, 10 years, do you really think we're going to be battling Alzheimer's? I don't think you're going to have nursing homes the way we do now, where they're just, hey, here's these people, they're housed there till they die because we have to trap them in there. I think we're going to have the ability to have people at home, because you have this little iWatch and people fall down and you go, oh my gosh, let's hurry out there. I just had visited with a couple that lives out in Hanson, Idaho. I think they can stay there, and the hospital will know if they fall when they're 98 years old, because they'll be instantly alerted. Or your family will be down the road. All of these things allow us to make dramatic changes, but we have to be able to stop and go, no, what I was thinking before, wrong. That's wrong. We're heading a different direction. And all of that technology and all that healthcare, all the wealth building up around the world, that's what I think is what we want to continue to be asking those questions. Where can I invest in front of? Not this little widget company or little tech company. You don't have to. You can find the giants out there that are already successful. You can say, you know what? I think Apple's on top of this. I think Google's got the search engine thing going. And maybe they'll come up with some other stuff. You can do that, and I think you have to have money there. Not just the Procter & Gamble's, but you got to have it in front of those massive changes, the change bringers, like we're seeing out there.
Yeah.
And think big, think giant, think way beyond what we can, because whatever you imagine, it's way short. It's way short of what the exponential technologies are doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get all fired up, Garrett, but I get excited about. It's like that old Chinese proverb, right? May we live in interesting times. We do.
Yeah.
We do. I just wish I could be around another 100 years and just see the world then. I mean, flying around like the Jetsons and stuff. It'll be cool.
Yeah, it would be. And I think you're exactly right. You know, when I think about investing, especially in some of those companies, like they have, as far as monetary risk, they have a higher risk of getting behind the curve than we do. And so, I mean, they have whole teams that, like you said, are trying to be forward thinkers. And so it's, I don't know, a relatively safe place to put your money, especially with a long-term outlook on things.
Right, right. And always aware, just like we talked about before, whatever's in front of you, this company here, Apple, do I believe they'll always dominate? Absolutely not. Why?
Yeah.
Because that's just the way you say, well, Dave, but Apple's got so much money and so much this and so much that. Of course they do. And just like everything else out there, they'll mess up sometime.
Yeah.
Or somebody will just be that much better. And it doesn't mean they go away, but look what happened to Microsoft, IBM, all companies run on difficult times at some point. And GE still hasn't got it together yet.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway.
An example of that is HP. I mean, that's the one that always jumps to the front in my mind of there. I don't know if they're ever going to recover.
Right. No. Well, the market certainly doubts it. That's for sure. You're right.
Yeah.
Let's hope not. Garrett, thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Have a great weekend. Bye-bye. Happy Easter. And our number is 580-KIDO. Hey, I want to mention real quick here before we take a break. And, George, you please hang on, okay? I'm going to grab you on the other side of the break. But the Caldwell Library is doing a budgeting, one-hour budgeting seminar at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, okay? So that's April 7th, coming up April 7th. Is that Tuesday? I think that's Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday, April 7th, 7 o'clock, but give them a call, and that's the Caldwell Library, so they can have a head count, have the proper materials. Of course, it's free. Of course, it's informational. They got a call, and I just thought, you know, anybody's putting out, they called and asked if I would mention it. Of course, I'm happy to. Anything that gets out some better spending habits, budgeting, come on, think about it. If you've got problems, or your kids have problems, go do this. It's 1 hour. I know you want to sit down, watch something, grab a beer, 1 hour to get something as important as your financial future together. It's at the Caldwell Library. The number is 459-3242, 3242. And we'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. It's with Dave Petzo on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks again for joining us. Hey, any questions during the week? Hey, shoot them over to us at PetzoFinancial.com. We also have podcasts there of all the shows, my 10 investment commandments, and we've got other articles, calculators to help you with your own financial planning. That's PetzoFinancial.com, and we'd love to hear from you as well. Suggestions for making this show better. Okay? And right now, let's go to a very patient caller. George, thank you for holding.
Hi, Dave. How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful, George. How are you?
Hi. Well, you know something? I'm looking forward to celebrating the resurrection of Christ. I'm feeling good.
That's good. That's good. That's good. I like it.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I have about two or three questions, but let me just start with this one. Stock buybacks.
Yes.
I know that there are some companies that look for things to invest in, all that, and when their stock prices are low, they buy back stock. As far as I can tell, that never seems to bleed through to dividends and things like that. But I realize that the biggest thing about it, well, okay, here's what it seems to me, is that when you buy back stock, then that means your earnings per share will go up, and that looks good to people, and so the price of the stock will go up. So that's one advantage that I can see to it. But it never seems to go through to dividends, but obviously somebody is benefiting from this. I wondered if you had any wisdom on that point.
Sure. It's really very simple, and it does actually bleed through, because if you think of it this way, as an example, Apple, let's just use round numbers. Let's say they're paying about a 2% dividend, because they've been raising their dividend very rapidly, even as the stock's gone up, okay?
Okay.
So if they're paying out, even if it's 1%, but right now they're able to go out to the markets and borrow money at virtually zero interest rates, literally. And if they buy back the stock, they save money because they're not paying out to those shareholders anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it does come through in the form of dividends, in that the overall, the company can keep paying out more dollars, assuming their profits are going higher, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can pay out more, but it shrinks the actual total amount because they have bought back some stock. So if you buy back 10% of the company, all things being equal, and that's a big number, but 10% of the company, then you will be paying out 10% less in dividends total. Now, again, assuming you're not raising dividends, but they typically do. In other words, you could raise your dividend by 10% to those existing people and not be paying a nickel more out. So it does reflect itself a little bit in the dividends. But basically what you're saying is my share of the company, let's pretend my share of the company is 1%. Okay?
Okay.
Now, this is an exaggeration of buying it. But let's suppose that then they take and buy back 25% of the outstanding shares of the company. Okay?
Okay.
My share of the company, my share of profits, dividends, however you want to express it, has now increased by 25%. So I own 1.25% without buying any additional shares. So the benefit is you own more of the income from that corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So if it grows and they distribute more dividends, your share will go up even more
mm-hmm.
over time. It's not a quick thing. Now, the other thing is as a natural buyer in the market. If they're out there buying millions of shares, then that kind of tends to put a little bit of a floor on a stock. Now, it doesn't a little bit, not a total, right? If there's an avalanche or terrible news and things like that, like there has been in the oil patch, those companies are stopping their stock buybacks. They want to hang on to the cash they have, right?
Right.
So those are stopping right now. But if things get better there and then they start buying back their stock, that will be another buyer in the market. So it creates a buyer. It creates more demand for the stock as a natural buyer being the corporation. Okay?
Okay. So that just means that the price of the stock will go up.
Correct. That's right.
Okay. That was what I was thinking, was that that would be a good move in order to get the share price to go up.
Right.
Which is an advantage if you want to sell it.
Correct. Correct. Correct.
But, based on your very sound analysis of buying great companies of the world and having increasing dividends, that wouldn't matter as far as the dividends are concerned, unless, as I say, if it bleeds through to the dividends. But I guess if it does that, if they're making more, then it would go to the dividends.
It does. Yes. Ultimately, if you're doing more, yes, that's correct. Yep.
Okay. That was it. Do you have time for one more question?
I'm afraid I really don't.
Okay.
Unless it's a real fast one.
Well, what do you think of small cap stocks?
Excellent. I can't answer that. Always look to small cap value to overweight in your portfolio, because it's the one area that isn't overanalyzed, and investors have done better with less risk over time.
Yeah, it seems like they didn't do all that well last year.
Nope, and that's another – yeah, they didn't. That's correct. Small company stocks did not do well last year. That's absolutely true. George, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.
Have a wonderful day and happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I want to quickly mention, again, there is a budgeting meeting out at Caldwell Library on Tuesday. Give them a call. Give them a call, and it's 7 o'clock p.m. Everybody have a happy Easter. We'll talk to you next week.
Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petso Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petso, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petso Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. These are the opinions of Dave Petso and are based on information from sources believed to be reliable but may change as information changes or becomes outdated. Nor should any opinion contained herein be construed or considered as a solicitation to buy or sell any particular investment product. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Asset allocation and diversification strategies cannot fully guarantee against loss. The past performance does not guarantee future results.